All right, we're recording. My name is Nick Etke. I'm here with Annie Riestenberg. Today's date is October 13th, 2020. The time is roughly 6:30 p.m. We're at Annie's house on the west side of Cincinnati. Annie, I want to briefly inform you the consent and deed of gift that you signed. This interview is for the COVID-19 Oral History Project, which is associated with the Journal of the Plague Year COVID-19 Archive. The COVID-19 Oral History Project is a rapid response oral history focused on archiving the lived experience of the COVID-19 epidemic. We have designed this project so that professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to our open access and open source database. This study will help us collect narratives and understandings about COVID-19, as well as help us better understand the impacts of the pandemic over time. The recording, demographic information, and verbatim transcripts will be deposited into the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the Indiana University Public Library System for the use of researchers and the general public. Do you have any questions about the project that I can answer so far?
No.
Taking part in this study is voluntarily. You may choose not to take part, or you may choose to leave the study at any time. Leaving the study will not result in any penalty or loss of benefits to which you are entitled. Your decision whether or not to participate in this study will not affect your current or future relations with the Indiana University, IUPUI, or the IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute, or the University of Cincinnati, through which we are running this project. Participation in this project will mean your interview will be recorded in digital, video, and or audio format and may be transcribed. The recordings and possible transcript of my interview, copies of any supplementary documents, or additional photos that you wish to share, and the informed consent and deed of gift may be deposited in the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the Indiana University Library System, and will be available to both researchers and the general public. Your name and other means of identification will not be confidential. Do you have any questions about that?
Nope.
In addition to your signed document, would you please offer a verbal confirmation that you understand and agree to these terms?
I understand.
Okay. I'm also asking that you verbally confirm you've agreed to the interview, and your interview will be made available under the following license. The first one is a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International, and the second one is the COVID-19 Oral History Project, the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the trustees of Indiana University acting through its agents, employees, representatives, and his limited right to reproduce, use, exhibit, display, perform, broadcast, create derivative works from, and distribute the oral history materials in any manner or media now existing or hereafter developed in perpetuity throughout the world. I agree the oral history materials may be used by the voices from the waterways and IU, including its assigns and transferees for any purpose, including but not limited to marketing, advertising, publicity, or other promotional purposes. I agree that IU will have final editorial authority over the use of the oral history materials, and I waive any right to inspect or approve of any future use of this oral history material. Moreover, I agree that the public has the right to use the materials under the terms of the Fair Use U.S. Copyright Law, Section 107 of the U.S. Copyright Act. Finally, I want to ask you for a verbal confirmation that you have agreed that your interview will be made available to the public immediately.
I agree.
Okay. Now that all the legal stuff is out of the way, get into some questions about the pandemic. Again, today is October 13th, 2020, and it is 6:30 p.m. So if we could just start off, what is your name and what are the primary things that you do on a daily basis?
Okay, my name is Annie Riestenberg, and I'm semi-retired, and I do still work 4 days a week with two Alzheimer's folks, and just giving their families a break, a little caregiving there. And I also am very active with our personal friends, about 12 of them in our group. So you know, we take trips, we do play cards, we, you know, get together for different things, but we stay very active with them. And then I walk every day, so I do get my outside exercise, and I enjoy that quite a lot.
All right. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Montford Heights on the west side.
On the west side. And what's it like to live there?
Oh, I love it. It's just a good, wholesome family community. I love it because it's near the expressway, so it's easy in, easy out if I need to, you know, cross through the city. So I've enjoyed it for 5 years so far.
Okay, good. All right, we're going to get into some questions about the actual pandemic now. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, you know, based on what the media said, it definitely was a frightening announcement. You knew it came from a foreign country, or that's exactly what that was indicated. And there were a lot of unknowns, and I think it was just something that you had, it made you step back and pay attention to.
Okay. How have your thoughts changed about it since initially learning?
Well, you know, again, I understand truly that the professionals, even in the health field, don't know a lot about this. And different things have emerged since it broke into the country here. But I've never really been fearful of it. I never really looked at myself as even being a victim of it. And I consider myself pretty healthy along, you know, in general. So I just listened and to all the precautions that, you know, were suggested.
Okay, thanks. And you said you didn't feel like a victim, and you also said you're semi-retired. Has the pandemic, has COVID-19 affected your job in any way since you said you were semi-retired?
Yes, it has. Actually, the folks that I helped, we actually backed off from seeing them, and you know, as everybody kind of went into some isolation period. So for 5 months, I did not have that work in my, you know, basically on paper. So it was, I missed it a lot. I really did.
Okay. So you were without work for 5 months.
5 months.
What broader concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on, I guess, your employment or the economy as a whole?
Well, I know it has affected. I mean, there's just examples presented every day of different entities. You know, you've got, restaurants for one is a big thing. Bars, restaurants, a lot of private businesses, small businesses especially, just, you know, had to close. You know, there was no real easy way to open up for business. The airline industry, my goodness, is not a small business, but that is any place that has close proximity of people. Was highly affected by that. So I am concerned about that that entity of it.
How about other people that you know? Did you know anyone that was personally affected or their employment was affected specifically by the pandemic?
Being at the retirement age, I think I'm probably one of the few of my age group that is probably still working, and I do volunteer as well, but a lot of things were kind of eliminated. Nobody that I know personally was really in a hardship situation.
Okay, good. How about, has COVID-19 affected you or your family's day-to-day activities?
No.
Nothing has changed throughout the pandemic?
I would say no. You know, for, I would say 3 months, we really kind of hunkered down and we just decided to change. I mean, I still got out and walked. We took rides in the car. We really stayed away from going into stores in general. Grocery shopping was probably the only thing, although in my view, grocery shopping is a great breeder of this disease. So I really did very little of it or kept it at a minimal for sure.
Okay. How about the day-to-day activities in your household? Did anything change within your house?
Nothing changed.
Nothing changed? Okay. Has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate or communicate with your family and friends?
Not any longer. Again, we were very, very, for probably 3 months or so, just being so very cautious. We did not really do partying or celebrate birthdays. Of course, our churches were closed. Our schools were closed. That was disappointing to me. I just think shutting down too much, almost.
Okay. I guess that's kind of into the next question here. The biggest challenge that you faced during the pandemic, what was the biggest challenge that you had?
Oh, not seeing my family. You know, we did a lot of talking on the phone, but seeing family and close friends, you know, person to person, was definitely kept at a minimum, if not done at all. I have two of my three children are out of town, so that was relatively easy not to travel from state to state. But otherwise, yeah, that was probably the hardest thing is just staying away from folks. And not until, you know, things kind of eased open did I even go face to face with anybody.
Got it. Okay. How about your recreation? Did your recreation activities change during the pandemic, or what did you do for recreation, such as you know, reading books, or you said before you were exercising?
Yes. Well, recreation was, you know, I did walk every day, and I walked probably more than I ever did before because I enjoy being outside. And, you know, our card group didn't get together. That changed. We were just very respectful to just, you know, listening to the, I guess the call not to be close to each other. We did kind of just try and kind of take our little space that we had, and I did a couple of household projects and got some projects done at home, and we decided to throw ourselves into just watching some movies every night, and that I really enjoyed that a lot. And then once the critical closure kind of stopped, I had a couple friends over on my patio, and we would play cards on a non-windy day. And sitting in the sun, I thought that was a healthy thing to do. So we gradually came back into more recreational things then.
Okay, good. All right, moving along. How do you think the COVID-19 outbreak has affected your community, such as schools, churches, pretty much any or all of these communities, just as a whole or specific? How do you think it has affected your community?
Well, I would say probably my church being closed, you know, places of worship were the biggest things, because you know, you've got you know, folks that, you know, especially for the church, there was just the lack of giving and support financially for keeping the church vital and open. And I think the church and the schools, the children, I think really you know, suffered that in that area quite a bit. I was a big supporter of the schools not closing, but now we find out that the younger children really aren't affected by this COVID-19 that much. But I kind of respect that they did close because, again, we were all going through a learning phase with this.
Okay. Did you see a change in the people around you and how they responded to COVID?
Yes, some. Most of our friends were not frightened, just like we were not frightened of it. But, you know, it was wearing the masks. We kind of did the protocol on that. And but there are actually, there are two sets of our friends that still to this date don't communicate with. I mean, we talk on the phone. That's as far as it goes. They haven't come into the crowd anymore or traveled with us. We've taken several trips since things have kind of opened up a little bit. We even took, a trip to Colorado on a plane. And, nothing came negative from that. So
you still have one group that's not coming back, I guess, out of their house.
Well, just, yeah, it's a matter of their relationship with their parents and their very young, very infant grandchildren. Okay. So they were kind of respectful in the extreme of those two age, the ends of, you know, those two spectrums of age.
But other than them, everybody else that you, I guess, hang around with kind of shares your same opinion as far as how they feel about the day-to-day activities now during the pandemic.
Yeah, everybody's. Right now at this date, October 13th. You know, I've taken five trips since the month of August, and I've got both of my families back on board with me. Two of the three, I should say. And then I've got, we've taken trips, we've been in groups. When we eat out, we do try and get outdoor places instead of being inside. So just little practical things like that. And I really find myself resisting going in stores. So grocery store, if I can't find it in the grocery store, I'm pretty much not doing that.
Okay. Which kind of leads me to the next question. Self-isolation and flattening the curve have been two key ideas or phrases that have been used. Do you feel that you or your family have responded to the request to self-isolate or to flatten the curve? Or what are your feelings on those phrases?
Well, you know what? I know both of those. Those are very familiar phrases. And yes, I think that initial out of the gate news of here's what we have to do to keep numbers down, and I respected that, and I went along with it, and not until they said, well, we can kind of slowly open things up, I was all for it. You know, getting back to normal was really important, and I still say that every day, that, you know, I don't even like that term new normal, because I want the real normal back. And so I just do it. I just get out and do things, and I don't jump in front of somebody without a mask. If I don't have a mask on, it's when I'm all alone and maybe walking all by myself But in any store or in around any people, my mask is on still to this day.
Okay, good. So with that in mind, have you or do you know anybody that's come down sick during the pandemic? And what has been your or their response to being sick?
Okay. I know two people that have tested positive. And they basically just stepped back for you know, did a 14-day quarantine, and nothing serious came of that at all. But they were tested that way. And I, you know, our area here in Cincinnati is heavily tested.
Did they have major illnesses? Were they hospitalized?
No, neither one were hospitalized, no.
Okay. How about, in which ways do you think the COVID-19 has affected people's mental health?
Oh, well, personally, let's see. I know people in retirement homes. So they're not ill. And I have a 101-year-old uncle who it has changed him a little bit because they were isolated, couldn't come out of their room. They had their meals delivered to their rooms, half of the time cold. It was just almost staggering to a huge level. And everybody's affected that by that differently, especially if they don't have any family that communicates with them. So during that time, that's really, really a difficult area of folks that I think it was hard, you know, very hard pressed to find a solution to that during the isolation.
Were there any outbreaks at that nursing home that you know of?
Not that I know of, no. Not where our uncle is. But I do know another one in the area that did have some outbreaks.
Okay. We're going to switch gears here, and I'm going to... What has been your primary source of news during the pandemic?
Oh, probably just our local news.
Local on TV?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, TV.
Has your source of news changed at all since the
YouTube.
Pandemic started?
Sometimes I tune into YouTube. Okay. I don't get cable at home, so it's either the, you know, the local three channels that we have, but sometimes I jump into YouTube just to see on a national or broader spectrum what news is going on other places.
Okay, so you have access to the internet?
Absolutely.
Okay. What do you think the important issues or the biggest issue is that the media may not be covering about the pandemic?
Well, gosh, may not be covering? Yeah. Maybe...
Just from watching the nightly news or...
I don't know. Just in my little world where I live, it's hard for me to even call it a pandemic. I don't know enough people. I'm sure people have died. It's hard for me to understand that number that keeps rising over and over again. But when you're isolated and you're not able to really do, you know, get out and do much, you just don't hear. You don't hear of anybody else unless it's reporting, you know, whatever the news says you think you should believe. But
do you feel that the government, local or state or even federal, do you think they've been misleading you, or do you think they've, done a good job in reporting or passing on the true information that they know?
Well, you know, again, I'm not a health person. I'm not a educated person in the health industry, put it that way. So you have to take basically what they say as some kind of Bible to this and factual, you know, information. But I do think it just seems like the numbers are escalated way too high. And I have heard, at least in a couple of our communities, that there were deaths, you know, across the board in hospitals and retirement homes, and possibly marked down as COVID cases when they actually weren't. And that's disturbing to me. So how much of that has happened to increase the numbers is a concern to me. Okay. Definitely.
So do you feel like they've responded to the outbreak? You think it was an accurate response?
I definitely think they probably overdid it, if anything. But I think actually our president did a fantastic job from the get-go when it was disclosed, and all the different steps of action that were taken to do what he could to supply hospitals, to give them every material that they need. And of course, all the research companies, the pharmaceuticals that went right away to the testing table to try and find a good vaccine for this is imperative. And I think everything kind of went smooth, right on the mark, from everything I can tell without being a medical person.
Okay. What about your, I guess your thoughts on, has this experience, this pandemic, has it transformed about how you think about your family, your friends, or your community? Has it changed anything about how you feel about certain people or your community?
Somebody coming to the door. Yeah, I would say so. Has it changed my opinion?
Yeah, has it changed your opinion at all?
No, not too much, I don't think. I don't think so.
Okay. How does the pandemic compare to other big events that have happened in your lifetime? Does this compare to anything that you've experienced in your life?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, there's been so many different, what they call pandemics and, you know, health episodes that have happened. I don't even remember anything that ever shut down schools and churches before. So I think this was probably a little bit overdone, because I think there were just as many deaths in the past for different episodes similar to this. This is just something that came from a foreign country and we knew nothing about it. And it was frightening in that respect. So nothing stands out to me. It's just, I think the economy, you have the effect on the economy is kind of tragic, definitely tragic.
Okay. So where do you envision yourself in a year? How do you think your life will look like a year from now? Or what do you hope your life will look like a year from now?
I don't really expect too much different. I mean, I'm still the healthy person I was in the beginning of the pandemic, if you want to call it that. And I'm hoping to be having that same health level in a year from now.
So you don't think this pandemic will have much of a change on
my personal life?
The next year of your life?
No.
And knowing what you know now, what do you think individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future or for future pandemics?
Well, keep your eyes and ears open. And, you know, again, this was such an unknown when this broke. You know, who knows what the next one will be? I just think, you know, alert a country, alert the authorities. As soon as something seems to be, you know, heading our way from wherever, whatever source, another country, another state, you know, and you know, just act on it and take precautions as early as you can, because the sooner you know, act on it, the safer everybody's going to be.
All right. Annie, I appreciate your time. That's really all the questions I have. Is there anything else? This interview is going to be archived in a plague, the pandemic archive. Is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Oh, I don't think so. I'm okay.
I appreciate your time. I'm going to stop the recording now.
Thank you.